A reading from Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 to 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. These are the names of the 12 apostles: first Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John; Philip and Bartholomew; Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector; James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus; Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: "Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal those who are ill, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We start the reading today by hearing of Jesus going through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and being met by crowds. They would have been huge crowds. He was well known throughout the land at this time, by this time, and huge crowds would have come out. So when we think of crowds, we don't think of 10 or 20 or 30. We think of hundreds at least, possibly thousands of people coming to gather around Jesus to see him and to see him do his miracles and to hear him declare the kingdom. Now, I must admit, I tend to avoid crowds if I can. I'm not a huge crowd fan. Sometimes it's fine if I'm going to a big football match or something, but generally speaking, I don't like crowds. I was at Hogmanay one year in Scotland, in Edinburgh, and I was in the middle of a street, and I could literally not move from the middle of the street to either side of the street. There were so many people, and I didn't like that very much. But here we read about huge crowds, and Jesus seems to be positively attracted to crowds. He doesn't avoid them at all. Because in verse 36 in chapter 9, we read this: when he, Jesus, saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. I think this is at the heart of this passage. Jesus sees people who are confused and spiritually hungry and not sure which way to turn. They'd been let down terribly by the religious leaders, and they are, in Matthew's words, harassed and helpless. And on seeing the people, Jesus could have at first thought, well, oh no, here we go again. But his first reaction is compassion. Compassion. The word compassion is very strong. It means something deep inside Jesus has moved. Their confusion matters to him. Their need moves his heart. And that is the first challenge for me, really, as I was reading this and preparing this, and maybe for us also. Do we see people as Jesus sees them? Because it's very easy to see people in different ways, in other ways. Sometimes we might see people as difficult or demanding. We can see people as not really our sort of people. We can see people as the person who's taken our parking space. And as we know, that's a serious spiritual test for all of us if that happens. But Jesus sees beneath the surface. When he looks at the world, he sees the tired parent and the lonely widow. He sees the anxious teenager and the person battling addiction. He sees the person who looks fine on the outside, but on the inside is quietly falling apart. He sees people as sheep without a shepherd. And what is the first thing he does? He tells his disciples to pray, to pray. In verses 37 and 38, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." He's not telling them to form a committee, is he? He's telling them to pray. "Ask the Lord of the harvest," he says. So the mission of the church must always begin with prayer. Before we rush into doing things that are necessary and important, like planning and all the other stuff, we need to pray and ask God to send workers. We ask God to open our eyes. We ask God to show us where he is already at work so we can join in. But then comes the twist. Because in the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus sends the very people who have just been told to pray. In other words, be careful what you pray for. "Lord, please send someone." And Jesus says, "Yes, you." So the disciples move from watching Jesus to joining in with Jesus and his ministry. They've seen him teaching. They've seen him proclaiming the good news. They've seen him healing the sick and caring for the broken. And now he gives them the authority to do this and sends them out. That is really the shape of our Christian discipleship. We come to Jesus, we learn from Jesus, we receive from Jesus, and then he sends us out in his name. And in verse 7 of chapter 10, Jesus says this, "As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near." That's the message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. That's the good news. In other words, God has not abandoned the world. God has come close in Jesus. His love and his mercy and his forgiveness have come near to us. His new life has come near. And Jesus, at the end of our reading in verse 8, says this to his disciples: "Freely you have received, freely give." That is a wonderful sentence. We don't serve others to earn God's love. We serve others because we have already been loved by God. We don't show compassion to make Jesus love us. We show compassion because Jesus first had compassion on us. Freely you've received, freely give. I assume you've heard of Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Mother Teresa? You've all heard of Mother Teresa. She's unfortunately dead now. She's gone to glory. Mother Teresa, I had the privilege of nearly meeting her once. I missed her by about 15 minutes, but there we are. That's my claim to almost fame. One day, Mother Teresa found a dying woman lying in the street in Calcutta. The woman was ignored, being left alone, dying in the gutters, basically, at the side of the street. And Mother Teresa took her in. She cleaned her, she cared for her, and she made sure that at the end of her life, she knew she was loved. Now, most of us aren't called to go to Calcutta. Most of us aren't called to start a new religious order. But the principle is the same. Mother Teresa saw someone who many other people hadn't seen and just walked past. Compassion became action in that situation. And that is the movement of our gospel reading today. Jesus sees, Jesus has compassion, Jesus prays, and Jesus sends. So, how do we live this out today? I think we begin by asking God to help us to see people properly, as he sees people. That might mean noticing someone who's struggling. It might mean praying for a neighbor, or inviting someone for a cup of tea, or inviting them to church. Seeing people as God sees people might mean offering a simple word of encouragement, such as, I'll pray for you, or God has not abandoned you, or there is hope. This stuff doesn't have to be dramatic. Sometimes the kingdom of heaven comes near through very ordinary acts of love. And we mustn't think that this is only for church leaders or very experienced Christians. Jesus didn't say in our reading today, the harvest is plentiful, so ask someone else to do everything. Thankfully, he sent disciples. He sent ordinary people like us, imperfect people, people who were still learning and who sometimes still got it wrong. People like us, and Jesus still sent them. So perhaps the question for us today is this: who around us needs to know that the kingdom of heaven has come near? Who needs compassion? Who needs prayer? Who needs a word of hope? And who needs the love of Christ shown in a practical way? The passage began with Jesus looking at the crowds. So perhaps this week we could ask him to help us to look again at the people around us, but this time with the compassion of Christ. There is a beautiful poem by Saint Teresa of Avila, a Spanish saint, and it beautifully expresses the calling of the church, and I'd like to end with this poem, if that's okay. Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks in compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks in compassion on this world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. And he sends us. Amen.